The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
What's up, nerds? What a show Steph Curry is putting on. Oh, my God. Getting your MVP vote? And by the way, it's easy to remember. Sorry to forget. Easy to forget what he did in 2015-16 when they won 73 games. But a lot of people are saying this Steph is better than that Steph. Are they right? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. And even if they are right, remember that year, 15-16? Looked like he was better than LeBron. I was on Sports Nation at the time saying, look, it's his world. Steph's better than LeBron. Steph should have the starring role in Space Jam because that spot is for the protagonist of the basketball universe. It was Jordan's world. Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, anyone you want to mention was playing in Michael Jordan's world. And I was like, hey, it's Steph Curry's world now. These dudes won 73 that year. I was sure they were going to beat the Cavs. But by the end of the finals, LeBron left no doubt. It's LeBron's world still. L.A., is it still LeBron's world?
No doubt.
The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, as I mentioned. Steph made 10 threes last night. Dropped 49 against the Sixers. That's his 11th straight 30-point game. The longest streak by a 33-year-old or older player. Let me say that again in English. By a player aged 33 or older in NBA history, and the longest by a Warrior since Wilt Chamberlain in 1964. I'm having a blast out there just playing basketball, and it is obviously working, Steph Curry said. Head coach Steve Kerr said this about Steph after the game.
I don't know what else to say. You know, you guys ask me after every game what I think of Steph and his performance, and it's whatever I said last game, just use that tonight. Because it's the same thing after every game. It's just utter amazement at this guy's skill level, heart, mind, focus. It's just amazing to watch.
We got to start talking about MVP with Steph. Is he the MVP of the league right now? The answer is no, not right now. But he's top three. Because LeBron's missed too much time. Embiid missed too much time. Giannis, look, he got two MVPs. And he fizzled in the postseason both times. And I don't think he's worthy of the MVP this year. But he's in the conversation. But I would put, look, and also Giannis, the Bucks wanted to kind of practice actually implementing an offense where it's not Giannis getting him into the offense all the time, right? And then they wall up against Giannis, and, you know, they're trying new stuff. But Steph, without another shooter on the team, without another great player on the team this year, is keeping him afloat. Jokic or Damian Lillard is the MVP right now. Steph is hot on their heels. Is this Steph better than the Steph in 15-16 who won the MVP and whose team won 73 games? Look, they're virtually the same player, virtually, right? This Steph has a little more experience. That Steph was even more accurate from downtown, but in the same ballpark. The difference is, the reason this Steph, well, the reason, let me back up for a second. 888-729-3776, 729-3776, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Considering the stats are just about the same, right? There are two arguments here, one on each side, and I will tell you the correct one to take. First of all, this Steph is better than that Steph. This Steph is better than that Steph argument goes like this. That Steph was amazing, but when it came time to the biggest test of all, you know, there's a whole thing on social media about me going, give me Iguodala, or I want Iguodala, because I was talking about the Martians have a death beam pointed at the Earth. One shot, fate of the universe, or fate of the Earth on the line. Who do you give the ball to on that team? I did not consider Steph a clutch player in those playoffs. Not shooting it, not passing it. I'm going to get to that in a second. And I said, give me Iguodala. That dude has ice water in his face. He can't get the same shot the way Steph can get his shot and all that. But if he has a clean look at the basket, I trusted him. I did not trust Steph after those finals. And let me tell you why. The ultimate fate of the earth on the line type question is this. You have the greatest record in the history of basketball. 73 wins, one better than the Chicago Bulls, who won the championship. You get to a game seven against the signature player of your era and since Michael Jordan, LeBron James. He's crewed up. He's got Kyrie and Kevin Love, and they're both healthy. Not like they were hurt when you won the only, you know, the championship against them. They're both healthy now. You're at home. You're Steph. You're the MVP. Guys like me are saying it's his league. He's better than LeBron. I was saying at the time, in no other universe, in no other NBA is he better than LeBron. But in this NBA, the way the game is played now, it's not fair. He just is. He got the cheat code. He can shoot from a million miles away and not miss, never miss. He's got the craziest handles. He's a mobile artillery unit. The ball doesn't stick with him. He's not on ball monopolizing the way Harden was. So the offense could be more fluid. It's just Steph's world. And it's a game seven against LeBron. You're at home. It's the fourth quarter. You are the captain of the best half-court offense in the history of basketball. You're about to be anointed the greatest team of all time. There are 4 minutes and 22 seconds left in the game, and you don't score a single point. I don't mean Steph Curry doesn't score. The team doesn't score a single point. Now realize, Draymond Green, had the Warriors won that game, was going to be MVP. He was the best player on that team. But Steph was in control of the offense. He was missing shots. He was refusing to take shots. He was making careless passes behind the back, throwing the ball away. That Steph Curry was not clutch enough. That's the argument for this Steph Curry, who might be, who may be. He was clutch against Toronto in the finals when last seen. We will see what he does in these playoffs. But the argument, which in fact wins, which is why the other Steph Curry is better than this one, is the influence of Steph. I'm going to get to the Lakers in a second, guys. I hear what you're saying. I got to talk about Steph for a second. It was a big night. The influence of Steph. I got Raj and Brendan in my ear wanting me to get to the Lakers. I'm going to get to them in a second. The influence of Steph is that guys like Damian Lillard and Trae Young and others have come along since then who approximate what Steph does. Damian Lillard does on offense almost what Steph does, almost as well as Steph. There was no one back then doing what Steph did. No one. It's like Tiger before the accident. The reason it was harder for him to win was not just that he wasn't as good as he once was. It's that the effect of Tiger was that the parents of athletic children were for the first time putting golf clubs in their kids' hands because of Tiger Woods. So now, by the time they came of age, he was competing against them. He was competing in a world of his own creation, but it was a harder world to compete in. That's what Steph's competing in now, which is why the other Steph was even more valuable than this one. But if this one can ball out in the playoffs, now you got an argument again. All right. Lakers' Anthony Davis is days away from returning. The Lakers are being smart with the way they're handling this. They're being smart about this. Do not risk AD. Be very careful the way you handle this right now. Because after everything I just said is about Steph back then, remember, LeBron James in the playoffs sunned him. He sunned him. There's no other way to say it. Blocked his shot, screamed on him, and was wound up the MVP of the finals. Right? Steph wasn't even in the running. LeBron uses the playoffs every year, the postseason, to remind everyone, no, I'm still the best in the world. What about KD? Got regular season MVP by the end of the play. Ah, it's still LeBron. What about Giannis? Ah, it's still LeBron. Well, KD won MVP. Shut up. KD was in a situation where he could not win MVP. No one could compete with those Warriors. And LeBron was clearly better than KD the first time KD beat him in the finals. LeBron was the MVP of the finals. He was just on the losing team, and they don't do that anymore. But the point is, by the end of every playoffs, guys like me, oh, Kawhi, he won in finals MVP. LeBron was hurt. Yeah, but LeBron's older. No, LeBron reminded us again by the end of the last postseason, he's the best player in the world. Is he still? Because you got to keep proving that. Is he still? We won't even know if AD is not fully healthy. The Lakers are smart to be as careful as possible. Coach Frank Vogel said Anthony Davis has been sidelined since February 14th with a calf strain and had tendinosis in his right leg. Was able to get in some, quote, good work ahead of the Lakers' four-game road trip that starts Thursday. LeBron's been out since March 20th, of course, with the high right ankle sprain. But the Lakers have held it down. They're 14-15 since Anthony Davis' injury and 7-8 since both AD and LeBron went out going into Monday. I mean, that they're a 500 team, basically. Without these two guys, that bodes very well for their chances to at least get to the finals. But AD has got to be healthy for LeBron to even have a chance to prove he's still the best in the world. And he's going to need to prove that to get out of the West. Just to get out of the West. Because, yes, no Jamal Murray on the Nuggets. That is true. But Nuggets ain't even the main competition. They may have been had Jamal Murray stayed healthy come playoff time. But you got Utah. And you got the Phoenix Suns. And you got the Clippers. I mean, look, Rondo makes a big difference there. LeBron, AD's going to have to come back healthy, and LeBron's going to have to prove it again, just like in 15-16. Now, this Steph Curry is not going to be there waiting for him. He doesn't have enough support. But Kawhi could easily be. This Utah team could easily be a hungry Chris Paul with Devin Booker and Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton and Saric and Crowder and et cetera, et cetera. They could be waiting. Say ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're waiting on Dave. Oh, Dave Roberts is there, Dodgers manager. Well, I would apologize to you, sir, for my producers so rudely keeping you waiting. But you know, Dave Roberts, for stealing that base against the Yankees in 04, you are my sports enemy. So thank you for coming on the show.
But you know what?
Yes.
Max, no, that's okay. I that's not the first time I've been told I'm someone's sports enemy.
Yeah.
But outside of that, you and I are very much aligned.
Hmm. Okay, I'm glad to hear that. How are we aligned? Before I even get into interviewing you, how are we aligned?
Well, you know what? We love baseball. We
yes.
love big moments. We the recall's good, the passion, the insight, the mm-hmm. different takes.
I'm
all about that, and I'm okay with that.
I'm going to guess, Skip, that you are a little bit faster than me. I'm not saying for sure. I'm just saying maybe in a foot race, it's possible that you would beat me. But other than that, we're like brothers from another mother. Dave Roberts, listen.
Hey, exactly, Max.
Yes.
But right now, I might take you right now.
Oh, you would beat me running backwards. On your worst day, you'd beat me running backwards. Listen,
I love it.
You are a World Series champion, unfortunately, both as a player and as a manager. And I want to get into a lot of stuff, but I actually want to start with Mookie Betts. What is the latest? Got hit with that 95-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, so it got him pretty good on that right forearm, and he's going to be fine, and the x-rays were negative. And it's one of those things that he's going to be down today. I mean, I'm hoping he'll be back in there on Thursday against the Padres. But with the player, you know, you can tell, and you've been around a lot of players, the look in the eye, the kind of the demeanor the next day is very telling. And then with Mookie this morning, he came in pretty jovial. So, yeah, it's still sore, but as opposed to kind of the worrisome look. So I'm anticipating he'll be back in there on Thursday.
Look, there's some guys, and Dodgers fans from back in the day remember Kirk Gibson, right? Whose impact is, they're great players on the field. Kirk Gibson was, obviously Mookie Betts is. But then there's another dimension. There's something that they bring to the clubhouse, to the belief in the teams. Have you ever played Little League? You know, you look back at, you know, whoever, the pitcher, center fielder, shortstop, whoever the best player on your team was, you feel like, oh, we got this dude out here that today, we can win. There's something about some guys like that. And Mookie has seemed to bring that to this team. Can you define that a little more? Like, how would you describe what he brings to the team?
Yeah, you know what? I get asked that. And the thing is, though, Max, it's hard to describe. It really is. It's hard to put a finger on it. Obviously, there's talented players everywhere. Obviously, he's in that top tier, but the ability to make and the desire to make everyone around him better and raise their level of play or coaching, that's another thing that's different. And I think the thing for me, Max, is that, and I think the biggest compliment I can give to a superstar player is that he's present. And mm-hmm. I think that's in all facets of life and in baseball, where the conversations with teammates in the batter's box, on the bases, in the outfield, in the dugout, he's engaged and he's present in hitters' meetings. And I think that right there sets the bar at a certain level for everyone in the organization.
Talking to Dave Roberts, a World Series champion, both as a player and as a manager, of course, joining me on the Goodyear Hotline here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Dave, there's a lot to talk about with you. I got to cram this in right now. We just hit on Mookie Betts. I want to get to the Dodgers-Padres rivalry because you were involved in the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry. I want to get to the rivalry in a second. But first, I imagine that every manager would love to manage a team like these Dodgers. I mean, you guys are stacked. And on the other hand, as a manager, sometimes you don't get full credit for managing a team like that. Oh, it's a push-button team. Oh, how could you go wrong? Joe Torre, for example, loved him in New York. He was the right guy for the job. He had powerhouse teams in the late 90s, right? And you certainly have a powerhouse team today. So with that as the backdrop, I want you to listen to Mike Greenberg this morning talking about the movie Heaven Can Wait and comparing it to your Dodgers. Skip, listen to this, and I'd love for you to react.
I was reminded of one of my favorite movies, Heaven Can Wait, in which Warren Beatty, who is an NFL quarterback, dies, is reincarnated as a billionaire, buys the Rams, and makes himself the quarterback. It got me to thinking the Dodgers are so ridiculously good that I could buy that team, mandate that I play every single day, and we would still win the World Series.
Could you hide Mike Greenberg on this team? Like, is this team that good? What do you think about what Greeny just said?
I think that that's an honest take. I don't know if it's realistic, but I appreciate it. I think the thing is that, that's an easy way to look at it. But we do have a lot of good players, Max. We have a lot of good players, and the players certainly deserve all the credit, and for me, just to be a part of it, I think it's great. But I don't know if Greeny, if we could have him on this club and we can still win the World Series. I don't know about that one.
I'll bet you might be a little aggressive. I'll bet you could find a roster spot for him and never play him. Like that, maybe you could pull off. But talking to Dave Roberts, of course, Dodgers manager, World Series champ as a player and a manager, and my sports enemy for stealing that base against the Yankees in 04. But Skip, this is what I'm saying. As a manager, I just put myself in your position. Who wouldn't want to manage this team? And yet, in another way, not your fault, but it's sort of like Kevin Durant going to the Warriors, right? Like, how much credit is he going to get? Because, with KD, they couldn't lose. So what I'm asking, I guess, is your kind of feelings as someone who must have a lot of professional pride, given all that you've accomplished. You're an excellent manager, everyone knows. But how do you feel about, on the one hand, getting to manage such a powerful club, and on the other hand, maybe not getting full credit because the team is so good?
Yeah, so I think, first of all, I don't care about credit. I really don't, and anyone that spends any time with me knows that. I love baseball. I love teaching and coaching players. And to now be a part of this organization and these ball players that are very talented, it's a great joy. And I show up every day very grateful for my job, and trying to make people around me better. It's a lot of fun. And just kind of, I think the thing is that I'm most proud of, though, Max, is the way we play baseball. I think that people that don't get to see us on a nightly basis, or you look at the payroll, whatever, that's a really lazy look at our club. And I think it's doing us a disservice in the sense of watching how we play the game of baseball, how we compete in the batter's box. Every pitch, we play every pitch, how we play team baseball. And how we're versatile, and there's an unselfishness to our ball club and throughout our entire minor league system, which we keep reloading. So I think that when you kind of peel back some layers, then you can really appreciate what we have outside of just the talent pool.
Listen, it's a legitimate point, Skip, because you look at the Yankees, who are also loaded on paper. They're not playing good baseball right now. My beloved Yankees, they're not playing good, fundamentally sound baseball. And I know today everyone strikes out a lot, and it's, you know, strikeout or, you know, out, true outcomes kind of brand of baseball. Gary Sheffield has been complaining about that recently, and I agree. I liked it better when I would watch This Week in Baseball, and Ozzie Smith was making amazing web gems, and you know, like, that's a better brand of baseball to me as a consumer. But this is the way the game is played. But even within the context of this game, you can be a fundamentally sound team like the Dodgers we've been seeing, or not, like the Yankees. And we've been seeing that too. And speaking of my Yankees, you were involved in the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry at the height of the rivalry. And now you're involved, as powerful as this Dodgers club is, the Padres are a loaded team. What has this rivalry been like? What is it like now? And can you compare it to Yankees and Red Sox?
First off, you can't, you know, and I think that the Yankees-Red Sox, this is generational. I remember in 2004, I was eating sushi in Boston, and a guy comes up to me and my wife, and I was there, and we're in the midst of the ALCS, and he said, "The Red Sox got my grandfather, they got my father, and they're coming after me." and so this is before, obviously, we come back and win that series. And so as the Padres and Dodgers is starting to come, it's on the come. But I think that geography just doesn't make a rivalry. You know, there's got to be, you know, high stakes that you're playing for. There's got to be a lot more history, which we're starting to get that. And now to the current, A.J. Preller, Peter Seidler, the owner, they've done a lot of good things over there. Jace Tingler did a really nice job with the players, and they got a lot of talent. That last series, I will say, as I'm hesitant to talk about April games, even simulating any semblance of a playoff vibe, but it did. I stand corrected. It did have that vibe, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun to be a part. And we've got these guys 16 more times.
Well, Skip, talking to Dave Roberts here on the Max Kellerman Show, of course, Los Angeles Dodgers manager and World Series champ as a player and as a manager. I did not expect, you know, you have such a sterling reputation, everyone loves you in the game. I did not expect you to come on this show and stoke the flames of a rivalry, a feud with Mike Greenberg. Unbelievable. War of words, Mike Greenberg and Dave Roberts.
Hey, he's on my list now, man. I'm coming after him.
Yeah, see, Greeny steps in it again, says another controversial thing. And Dave Roberts and Mike, of course, everyone. Who couldn't have seen this coming? Two such reviled personalities in the world of sports. Skip, thanks a million for coming on the show. Let's talk soon.
All right, Max, take it easy, man. Be well.
You too. Best of luck this season. Not that these Dodgers need it. And as Branch Rickey, former Dodger GM and the architect of the farm system in Major League Baseball and helped Jackie Robinson break the color line in Major League Baseball, Branch Rickey used to say, luck is the residue of design. And in that sense, that Dodgers team is real lucky because they are designed real well. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Another day, another possibility for the 49ers at number 3. If you're a business owner who's hiring, it can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. But when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, their matching technology finds these qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So while other companies give you too many options, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/MAX. What are the 49ers going to do with the third pick?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. The Niners. Are they still unsure? You know, we had Mike Tannenbaum on the show last week, as we normally do. ESPN NFL insider and analyst, former GM of the Jets. And Mike Tannenbaum said there's no way you make that deal that the Niners did unless you know who you want to take. So how is it that now all of a sudden the odds have flipped in Vegas from Mac Jones being the presumptive pick at 3 to Justin Fields? Are they unsure? Did they make that deal not knowing who they wanted to take? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts joined me on the Goodyear Hotline helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear More Driven. If you missed the interview, you will have to, or our conversation, you will have to download the podcast. You're just going to have to download the podcast. I don't know what else to tell you. So NFL draft buzz is, there's some about the Niners in the third pick. Tannenbaum's best last week when we were talking on this program, Mike Tannenbaum's best theory when I asked about why are we now, how did the odds flip from Mac Jones to Justin Fields being the favorite, according to Vegas? How's that happen? Were we getting bad information and now we have good information? Is someone changing their mind? One of his theories is, look, you can have dissenting voices in a room. You have three voices in a room. Two guys may say this guy and one guy might say the other guy. Well, I don't know. Okay. And maybe people are getting information from one or the other and then information from the dissenting voice. And that kind of has ascendancy, you know, the new information that comes out. Recency bias. Oh, now we're hearing this. The odds flip. Maybe the dissenting voice started winning the debate. And they're actually changing their minds. I mean, could you imagine mortgaging the farm to move up to the third pick in a draft and you don't know who you're going to take? Or what are the odds that after Trevor Lawrence and someone else, Zach Wilson, you think that there are two or three more candidates left in that draft alone in the first round who might turn out to be great players? Meantime, the Dallas Cowboys are sitting at 10 ahead of this year's NFL draft. And Mel Kiper and Todd McShay's latest combo mock draft, they believe that Dallas will take Patrick Surtain, the cornerback. No kidding. I think that if Surtain is there, he might be the best player left by 10 at any position, certainly in the running. And they could really use help on the defense, especially in the secondary. Surtain makes a lot of sense for the Cowboys. But is it done? If Surtain is there, if they definitely take him, even if there's a great offensive player waiting. Here's Stephen Jones, executive VP of the Dallas Cowboys, son of Jerry Jones, on 105.3 The Fan.
You know, we're starting to get a few calls, and I think it'll only pick up as we get closer to next Thursday. They kind of give you the call, hey, if our guy's there, you know, we'd be interested in moving up to the pick. It ain't going to get some great opportunities because of the depth, not only a quarterback, but offense in general. And, you know, we've made no bones about it, barring something very opportunistic that, you know, we certainly want to improve our defensive football teams.
This is why Stephen Jones, I think, has been good for the Cowboys. You know, it seems to me that in the last decade or so, Jerry Jones's hands-on influence has receded a bit, and Stephen Jones has gotten more power, right? And eventually, of course, you'd hope that Stephen Jones outlives Jerry Jones, right? Father goes before the kid. And Stephen Jones going to run the whole show one day. And since Stephen Jones started to, and the reason I say I believe it's in the room where it happens, it's actually Stephen Jones, whose voice can carry the day, is I go back to the Johnny Manziel draft. I was going back 5-6 years already. He's just the kind of guy Jerry Jones would want, come on, for the Dallas Cowboys. But Zach Martin was there, and they wound up drafting a boring offensive lineman in the first round who happens to be an all-pro level player and joins the best offensive line in recent memory. And that, you know, was why their offense was so good. And now I'm looking, listening to what Stephen Jones is saying. Look, what are the odds that Stephen Jones would be a good GM? They're low because daddy bought the team. That's why he has the job. He didn't earn it. His daddy bought the team and gave him the job. But he's minimum an average GM, maybe a tick above average. And that's, I don't say that as a backhanded compliment. That's a genuine compliment. Lots of guys are, you know, like are trying to be GMs, and he's better than more than half of them. And didn't have to earn it, just got it, handed to him. That's pretty good. His philosophy here is correct. Even if you're looking to draft a defensive player, but if there's a special offensive player, if there's a tight end no one's ever seen, Kyle Pitts is available, How do you pass that up? He's right. You don't draft for need. You draft for need only among comparable talent, but you draft the best available player if it's clear he's the best available player. And if Pitts is there, what are they going to say? No? That's different than saying we want to trade up for him. The Cowboys, whether or not they're in the best hands, they're not in incompetent hands. We've seen LeBron be Superman in the playoffs before. What happens if he can't do it this time? Baseball's back, so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus with over 170 live Major League Baseball games featuring every star and every team in the league. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com/baseball.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. It's interesting. I'm trying to figure out the connecting theme of all the music I've heard on this show today. What song is this, Brendan?
I don't know, man. I'm thinking, man, I just keep forgetting, man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It is April 20th, though. I do like this date. It's a nice date in history. Nice date on the calendar. Yeah.
Yeah. April 20th. I'm going to figure out what the... Yeah. Last Dance with Mary Jane. Is that this one?
Mary Jane's Last Dance.
Mary Jane's
Tom Petty.
Last
Tom Petty song.
Yeah, Tom Petty. Tom Petty. I remember when this came out. I remember the video when it first dropped. That's how old I am.
I have a feeling this might not be the last Mary Jane song we hear today. But continue on.
Yeah, lots of Mary Jane dancing today. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. There is one thing I'm worried about, Lakers fans. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. What if LeBron can't do it again? What if he can't do it again? He's called to do it every year. And I'm not talking about play great in the playoffs. That's not why LeBron's teams advance every year to the finals. They advance every year to the finals because he's the best player in the game, and he uses the postseason to prove it again. Now, at a certain point in LeBron's career, he stopped winning MVPs every year. Now, and I don't mean in the way Michael Jordan stopped winning them. You know, Jordan should have won 10 MVPs. Before, you know, in Chicago, he played 10 full seasons after his rookie year. And in every single one of those 10 seasons, he was the best player in the NBA by so much it was embarrassing to compare anyone to him. Like, by so much that when he retired, Shaq was the best player in the world, and everyone was like, oh my God, Shaq's so much better than the second best guy. And no one ever, who ever lived, ever questioned, is Shaq as good as Jordan when Jordan was around? That's how much he put so much distance between himself and the rest of the league. LeBron was doing that for a while. But then a funny thing happened. Like, Jordan didn't win the MVP every year just because Jordan fatigue. All right, let's give one to Barkley. Let's give one to Karl Malone. It's nonsense, right? That's not what happened to LeBron. LeBron legit stopped winning them because sometimes he didn't deserve them in the regular season. Kevin Durant. Oh, look at this. KD had a better year than LeBron. Steph Curry. Yo, Steph was better than LeBron in the regular season. Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Freak had a better year than LeBron. James Harden. He was better in the regular season. But by the end of the playoffs, LeBron always leaves no doubt. He's still the best player in the world. When KD beat LeBron in Golden State, if anything, it even proved it more. In other words, KD, arguably the second best player in the world at the time, and the Golden State Warriors, a 73-win team on the verge of being called the greatest team ever, looked at LeBron and was like, and then looked at each other and said, we need each other. We can't get by this dude without each other. That was a credit to LeBron. He was still the best, but arguably KD almost was as good as LeBron, maybe in the second championship that KD won with the Warriors, maybe. But he had a lot less to do. You know, the Cleveland defense, oh, got to worry about this guy, and Steph and Clay. And LeBron is the main focal point on the Cavs. Not that Kyrie and Kevin Love can't ball, but it was a different level. Anyway, LeBron stopped winning MVP. And didn't deserve it, but in the playoffs, by the end of the playoffs, yeah, he's the best player in the world. The best player in the world. Not among them, not a top five player, the best player in the world. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take LeBron being the best player in the world. I think regular season MVPs are ridiculous anyway, right? 8 teams make the playoffs, and 9 and 10 get to play in a play-in tournament. That means 10 out of 15 teams per conference, 20 out of 30 teams overall make the postseason. That's two-thirds of the teams. No such thing as an MVP that comes from a non-playoff team. So let's wait till the end of the playoffs, see who the real MVP is. What are we supposed to ignore? Higher leverage games? Ridiculous. Count them more, obviously. You ain't getting through the West. As if LeBron turns out by the end of these playoffs, we go, eh, KD's actually better than LeBron now. Kawhi is at least as good, and Giannis might be on par. If it turns out like that, if Steph's better than LeBron, if it turns out like that, Lakers ain't going anywhere. Do you know how great LeBron has to be to prove that again and again and again, year in and year out? He misses the finals once because he's hurt on the Lakers 2 years ago. And otherwise, hasn't missed the finals since he left Cleveland the first time. 4 years in Miami, final. Four in Miami, finals every year. 4 in Cleveland, finals every year. And 1 healthy in Los Angeles, finals. It's insane. Carter in Vermont, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, I got to tell you something. The Nets are going to the championship with or without Kevin Durant. I'm telling you right here, right now.
It could be. It could, like, I wouldn't rule it out. I don't know that I make them the favorite, but they'd be a top 3 favorite in the East to get out of the East, even without KD, because I saw Kyrie and Harden tear up the Western, you know, go on a 5-game road trip, beat the Jazz, you know, went to the West Coast and beat everybody without KD. But with KD, even if LeBron is the best player in the world, KD done did it again to him. He just stacked the deck too much. KD looked at LeBron in Miami and Cleveland said, oh, we're stacking the deck? Okay, watch this. I'll stack the deck 2.0. And KD's at full strength. There's nothing LeBron can do. Otherwise, LeBron better be the best in the game to get out of the West. Steph does it again coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.